Hallelujah. Praise God. If you have your Bibles, you can open to Jeremiah chapter 29. Praise the Lord. This is the part of our week where we get our help.
Amen.
Most important part of our week. You might not know that or might not understand that, but it is. And I always like to warn people, but in a good way. You know, the way God does things is He'll give somebody a message for what people need. And then it'll be spoken forth. And what you're going to find today is God's going to speak to your life. I don't know everybody personally. I don't know what everybody's going through and the questions and things people have. But God has a way of hitting bullseyes in every single person's heart this morning. And I'm warning you about that because when it happens, don't miss it. That's supernatural. That there's so many people in here, I couldn't do that on my own. That's God. And so when God speaks to you this morning, know that He loves you, He cares about you, that He's got such a good plan for your life. And so we're just going to hear from heaven this morning. And let's pray and believe God for utterance and boldness. Father, we're just honored to be here, Lord. It is such an honor to be able to minister the Word of God to such precious people. Father, I love the weekends, being able to be around the people of God and sharing your word. Father, they don't need to hear from me this morning. Father, they don't need to hear my opinions, my philosophies, or what I think about things, Father. They need to hear from heaven this morning. They need to hear from you. And so, Father, I pray that you'd speak through me, that my words would not be my own, but that of the Holy Spirit. Father, that I'd speak as the oracles of God and not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but a demonstration of the Spirit and power. Father, I thank you you'll hit the bullseye of people's heart here this morning. Father, you'll give them exactly what they need to hear this morning. And Father, we thank you we're in the right place at the right time. And Lord, we know you always take us to a better place. Father, we're not in neutral and we're not going backwards. So Father, we thank you we walk out of here better, we walk out of here changed, and we'll give you the praise, we'll give you the glory for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, Jeremiah 29:11, of course, last week we started to tell you that God has a plan for your life, a specific plan for your life. Amen. You know, a lot of people have such a low view of themselves, don't they? And, you know, I can get into that area with myself and can struggle along those lines. But when you start seeing yourself and treating yourself the way God sees you and the way God wants to treat you, you'll have a whole new outlook on yourself. Not that you become arrogant, not that you become prideful, because it's all about Him, but God loves you so much. He has placed you in an awesome position. The Bible says that He's placed you just a little lower than Him. Hallelujah. He made you to fellowship with Him. He just loves you. It was His idea. And so we started to tell you about that, and we showed you at the end of service that your past cannot determine your future, that God said, I'll forget your mistakes, I'll forget your missteps. I don't care if you've had one marriage, two marriage, three marriage, four, messed up your kids, messed up in business. God says today's a brand new day. Hallelujah. To go forward with Him. Only God can do that. Now, people might hold you to the fire and people might not think that way, but I'm not trying to please people. I could give a rip about what people think about me. I got to stand before God and spend eternity with Him. I care about what He thinks of me. Hallelujah. And so He has a high view of me. He's got a plan for my life. And we were going to tell you today how to start getting into that plan that God has for your life. And you're going to see what God says about the plan that He has for you. What's amazing is that this plan was constructed before the foundations of the world, the Bible says. You were on God's mind. See, our natural human mind, it's hard to grasp that God could care about us. But Psalms 8 and verse 4, it says that God's mindful of us, that He thinks about us. All the people in the world, but see, He's God. He has the ability to do it. He has the ability that I could be the only one on His mind out of it, and He's just thinking about me, and I'm the apple of His eye, and I'm so dear to Him. And it's the same way with you. And so when you see that God has a plan for you, because of what this plan entails and what it has for your life, it should motivate you to want to stop doing things your way.
Yeah,
want to get out of your plan, get into God's plan. Because let me just tell you about what God's plan has for you. In God's plan is salvation. Praise God for it. The ability to go to heaven and spend eternity with Him. In God's plan is healing. In God's plan is where the money is. In God's plan is where the peace is. In God's plan is where the long life and the protection is. You know, God offers you supernatural protection. Praise God. Where people that tell me, you know, if it be thy will, I'll be here next week. Well, it is God's will. It is God's. It's not God's will for you to go out and get hit by a train. Praise God. He's a God of goodness and love and mercy and protection. So in God's plan are all those blessings. So in Jeremiah 29 and verse 11, I want to show you this verse. And I'm going to read it to you in a few different translations. It says this in the King James, which we'll show you up here. It says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you." Praise God. God's thinking about me. He's thinking about you. Praise God. Thoughts of what? Peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. Listen to what it says in a few different translations about that verse. That, of course, was written in the King James, which is the old Elizabethan language. And there's more modern translations that bring it out better to more how we can understand it a little better. God says in the Message Bible, He says, "I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out." Now listen to the plans. "Plans to take care of you, not to abandon you. Plans to give you the future you hope for." Hallelujah. Listen to what the Amplified says. "For I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Thoughts and plans for welfare and peace and not for evil, to give you hope in your final outcome." That's good. One more. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." Aren't you glad? Glory to God. Praise His holy name. And real quick, it just seems good in my heart to look at real quick 3 John verse 2, Heather. If you go to 3 John verse 2, I'm not even going to flip there for time's sake. We'll let Heather's fingers do the work back there on the computer. 3 John 2, talking about God's plan for your life. What does God think about me? What does God want for me? Sometimes our computer takes a little longer. 3 John 2. Well, I'll just go there. Praise the Lord. Beloved, now look at this, God's plans for your life. I wish above all things, that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. Well, if God's our Father, which He is, I have 2 children, I could say this, I wish above all things that my children would prosper and be in health. What's it saying? God's saying, I wish above all things that the plan for your life would be filled with good things. Amen? Don't get too excited about that now. Praise. I know you're all priority thinking about that broccoli cheese soup that I begged for all of last month. Stop thinking about that and think about the Word. He wants good things for you. Amen. Blessings for you.
Praise the Lord.
God's plan is where it's at. Amen. God's plan is where there's the assurance, the protection. The Bible says in Psalm 91, it says, "He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." What's that talking about? Under God's covering. And then it goes on to say in verses 2 through 16, all the blessings that it talks about. Prosperity, protection, divine healing, victory. If you'll be in God's plan, that's where all the blessings. See, the problem is with a lot of Christians, or people that aren't Christians, they haven't accepted the Lord, and they can't get into His plan. Or people that have accepted Jesus, they don't know a thing about getting into God's plan. I'm here to tell you, the old religious idea of whatever will be, that ain't true biblically.
That's right.
It ain't about just, well, God, just bless me, and if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, no, you have a part to play in it.
Amen.
You do. You know that how your life turns out has way more to do with you than it does God. Way more to do with you than it does God. God's already done it all. He's waiting for you to join up. He's waiting for you to get on the plan. He's waiting for you to jump on board. Praise God. You know, if I say, you know what, there's a $100 bill for everybody here after service, come up and get it. And you don't come up and take your $100 bill, don't blame me. God says, here's all this stuff for you. Don't blame God. Listen, God's not your problem. That went over real well. God's not your problem. If it's not working out, it's time to look in the mirror. Figure out, what do I need to do, Lord? How do I change this? He's not your problem. He's your answer. Praise God. So today we're going to talk about getting in to that plan of God, the very first step. And if you've heard it before, I hope you have, because you're going to hear it again.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord. And if you haven't heard it, Today's the beginning for you of the of something wonderful. Go to John chapter 21. Many of us have heard this already. But I want to show you something about the idea of repeating things. John 21 in verse 15. John 21 and verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, one of the 12, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest me thou more than these? Basically, let's translate that in English. Do you love me? He's asking, do you love me? He said unto him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Now look at this. He said unto him, feed my lambs, or feed my sheep. That's what Jesus said to Peter, okay? Verse 16, he said unto him the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me or do you love me? He said unto him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said unto him a second time, feed my sheep or feed my lambs. Praise God, twice now. The third time, look at verse 17. He said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said it to him a third time. He said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said unto him, what? Third time, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. Two things I want you to see in this story. Praise God. Two things. Number one, Jesus wasn't bothered about repeating. Jesus wasn't bothered about saying things over and over and over again. Jesus wasn't bothered about telling people the same thing over and over and over again. It didn't bother him. He wasn't worried about it. Notice that Jesus, why? Because he knew something was important. You know, I have a little 4-year-old, right? Caleb, y'all know him. And he's a cool guy. But anyways, we go outside and play a lot, and we have a busy road that we live on. And you know that the cars, they zip by 55, 60 miles an hour on that road. And you know, every time we go out there, I tell him, buddy, don't go in the road. Buddy, don't go in the road. You know, I don't mind telling him that over and over and over and over and over again. Doesn't bother me. It doesn't trouble me to tell him the same thing over and over and over again. Why? Because I know if he doesn't, the outcome could be bad, right? It didn't bother Jesus to say it over and over and over again to hear the same thing. And so it doesn't bother me today to tell you. You know what Paul wrote this in Philippians 3 and verse 1. He said, it's not grievous for me to tell you the same things over and over again. One translation says, it's not irksome for me to tell you the same things. It's not irksome for me to tell you this today. Why? Because it'll keep you safe. It'll help you, praise God. But this is what I want you to see, the second thing. Notice that Jesus called people sheep. Jesus called people lambs. And he said, Peter, who stood in that office of that pastor, he said, you be the one to feed them. Now this is what I want you to see about getting into God's plan. You'll never get into God's plan until you recognize this. You'll never get into God's plan until this becomes a priority, until this becomes important to your life. You'll never get into God's plan. You can't be in God's plan apart from this. Notice that Jesus is interested in the sheep being fed.
That's right.
Well, if you don't feed a sheep, they're going to die.
Amen.
They're going to die. Well, we're not talking about natural feeding here. We're talking about spiritual feeding. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The word of God is spirit food to your spirit. Amen. Jesus is telling Peter, feed the sheep, Peter. Feed the sheep. What? He wasn't talking about making cheese and crackers for them, a sandwich for them. He's talking about the Word of God. Feed them, feed them, feed them. And so he tells them that. But notice this, what I want you to see about that. That not only is Jesus interested in the sheep being fed, but notice the only one that can feed the sheep is a person. Jesus himself cannot feed you. God himself cannot feed you. The Bible, Jesus appointed people to feed people.
Amen.
And see, until you recognize that, you'll never get into God's plan for your life. Don't you think if Jesus could have done it, he'd have said, I got this.
Yeah.
Or God could have done it. Because you know what the thing is that people, they don't connect themselves with other human beings, with people that are qualified to be feeders.
Right.
Notice sheep can't feed themselves.
That's right.
That's not an insult. That's just the truth. Sheep can't feed themselves. Jesus said, Peter, you feed my sheep. Hallelujah. And so I want to show you something here today and then show you something at the end of the service that'll help you. And again, if you've heard it, good. Because this will help you, the repetitive hearing of it. When the devil comes and tries to pull you away and tries to get you tempted to think it's not important or tries to get you thinking I can do without this, you'll know it's been said. Just like Caleb, I can't go near that road. Daddy's told me over and over and over again, don't go near that road. That's why we talk about some of the same things over. It's not because I can't find things to talk about. If you've been around me, you know I have that gift of talking. I'll just keep talking, praise the Lord. And because sometimes people don't place a value. It's not a priority in their life. Well, it better be a priority in your life or you're going to starve to death spiritually. Amen. You can't feed yourself. You can't feed yourself. If we could, we'd shut down shop and I'll spend Sundays at home. Right. Praise God. Not driving all over God's creation to get to the churches. Praise the Lord. And so go with me now to Ephesians chapter 4. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Amen. God's interested in the sheep being fed. Take away a person's natural food, and guess what? They get weak.
That's right.
They get wimpy. They get sickly, malnourished. Can't take away a sheep's food.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Ephesians 4. So now talking about that plan of God, and we're going to start in verse 12. I want to show you what God's plan and idea is for your life. We've already looked at in Jeremiah that He has good things personally for you. Remember in John 23, we've been looking at it, or John 16 and verse 24, where Jesus said, ask me for things in my name, or ask God in my name for things that your joy may be full. We already know He's interested in our personal lives. He already wants you blessed. He already said, I'll give you the desires of your heart. The desires of your heart might be different than the desires of my heart, but He's interested in you individually as a person. He's interested in you. He knows the things you enjoy. So there is benefit for you to be in that good life, that blessed life, praise God. So look what it says in verse 12. It says, for the perfecting of the saints, Christians are the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. God tells you the plan for your whole life right there. God tells you what your plan is in your whole life. Your plan is to be perfected, praise God. When you're perfected, guess what that means? Nothing lacking. Perfected in the realm of financial things. Perfected in the realm of spiritual things. Perfected in the realm of victory and divine healing, what the Bible teaches on those things. The perfecting of the saints. The next plan for God's, for you in your life is for the work of the ministry. God has a plan for every single person to do something in His kingdom, which will result in the third plan, the edifying of the body of Christ. So it is not only to your benefit to get into God's plan, it is for the work of the ministry's benefit and for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, notice the beginning of that verse says, for the. Well, you don't really start sentences like that unless it's coming off of something else. Well, go to Ephesians 4 and verse 11, one verse up. Remember, Jesus said to a man, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Let me tell you what, Jesus ain't here anymore. I know, shocker, right? He's not here anymore. He's not coming up, showing up in a suit and tie, preaching the Word of God to you. Not showing up in a pretty dress, preaching the Word of God to you. He ain't here anymore. Feed my sheep, Peter. Verse 11. And He, if you look at the context in this verse, it's talking about Jesus, gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors. That word pastor in the Greek means shepherd. What do shepherds tend to?
Sheep.
And some teachers. There's five different ministry gifts there. One of them is the most important ministry gift ever to your life personally. Those other ones will bless you, but the pastor or the shepherd is the one that's amongst the flock, is amongst the sheep. The evangelist, their job isn't to feed you. The prophet's job is not to feed you. They're not there all the time. Prophets come and go. Evangelists come and go. Apostles come and go. Teachers pop in and pop out. But the shepherd lives with the sheep daily, feeding them, leading them to water, keeping them protected, helping heal their wounds, keeping them safe, glory to God.
Praise
the pastor. Now, let's look at it again. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers. Verse 12 now brings it into better context. The reason He gave those things is so you could be perfected.
Hallelujah.
You know what that means? Now we've looked at two things. You can't be fed without a pastor, and you can't be perfected without a pastor. You can't. You can fight it all you want and say, oh, it's just me and Jesus at home with my Bible. And if you read that Bible that you're talking about being a lone wolf with and being a rebel, just me and the Bible and Jesus, you can say that all you want, and Jesus is going to tell you, get a pastor, I can't feed you. I can't do it. I'm in heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father. That's why I gave. Why do you think I gave it? I didn't give it to waste the gift. Praise God. And so the reason being is because he wants to see you bettered. You can't be bettered without a pastor. You can't be. You can't be bettered without a pastor. You can't get into that plan of God without a pastor. It's the first step when you get born again is to get into a good local church. Now notice I said a good local church. Not just any church. I don't care. Doesn't matter what the name is. Doesn't matter what the pretty picture on the sign is. It matters what's being taught at that place. Are people being fed there? There are a whole lot of churches. How do I know? I came from them. My wife came from them. That they're gathering. Every Sunday, people are being faithful. Nothing's happening. Nobody's lives are being changed. People are walking out just as defeated as they ever walked in before. Why? The Word's not being taught. The Word's not being taught. And again, it ain't a family church thing. It ain't a Pastor Mike thing. It's a Bible thing. Praise God. And so I would say to you here today, if you have a good Bible teaching church, stay there and get planted and get faithful. If you don't, you need to find one. And the Lord will lead you to one. How do you know where to go? Where you're being fed. Where you're being taught the Word of God. That's home for you. It ain't some big, I need some writing on the wall. No, if you're being fed there, the Word, that's home. Praise God. Hallelujah. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. I don't know, Pastor Mike. I think you're just telling me this to keep us at your church. I never said God would call you here. I said God will call you somewhere. But I'll tell you what, if you're called here, you're going to get the Word. And you're going to get the Spirit. Praise God. And you'll be blessed if God's called you to be here. This ain't me trying to build my kingdom. It's trying to get you safe, trying to get you blessed. And listen, I'm not a fool. I know not everybody in the world is going to be called to my church. Praise God. And I know that we're not the only good church preaching the Word. We'd be foolish to think that. But God says you need a pastor. You can't be perfected. You can't do the work of the ministry. I know we have these rebel, lone wolf Christians that are out there starting their own ministries and doing their own thing, and they don't have any spiritual covering over them at all. They're out of the will of God. They are out of the will of God because you can't be perfected to do the work of the ministry until you sit underneath your shepherd.
Amen.
Yeah. The body of Christ will never be edified until you recognize this as being a valuable thing in your life. I don't know, Pastor Mike. Well, we'll convince you here. Let's look at Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. Matthew 9 and verse 35. Say, I already know these things. Well, you know what? Caleb already knows not to go on the road. I'm going to tell him again. Don't go on the road, son. Don't go on the road. Peter already knew that. Jesus already knew Peter loved him. And Jesus kept saying, feed my lambs. Peter said, I already heard that once. Jesus said, feed my lambs. I already heard that twice. Jesus, feed my lambs. He didn't care. Paul said, it's not grievous, it's not irksome for me to tell you the same things because you'll be safe that way. How many people tell their kids to clean their room one time and blah, magically it's done? No, it's over and over and over and over and over and over again. Why? Because I found down the line, people forget this stuff. People, all of a sudden, the devil comes with temptation, the devil comes with thoughts, situations arise, and all of a sudden the local church and the pastor, it's not as important as it once was. And the devil's got you. But if I tell you over and over, you know how I really know when Caleb really, 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 really wants something? Because he's always telling me, Daddy, I want that, I want that, I want that. When we go in the store and he casually walks by something and says, I want that, I just ignore it. Just ignore it. But if time after time we're in that store at home, he's saying, Daddy, I really want that. Daddy, I really want that. You know how I know he wants it? Because he repeats it over and over. You know how I know that you'll know it's important? Because I'll say it over and over and over and over again. You'll never be blessed in life the way God wants you to be without a good local church with a pastor to teach you the Word. Matthew 9 and verse 35, Jesus went about all their cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every sickness among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Jesus just gets done healing them, blessing them, and he's looking at them, not saying, I'm so glad for them. He has compassion on them. One translation said Jesus pitied them. You ever remember Mr. T? I pity you, fool. That's kind of what he was saying, just in a nicer way. I pity these people. Now, that Mr. T reference was really funny, wasn't it? Does anybody know who Mr. T is? Mohawk gold chains, the A-team, glory to God. Oh, maybe I'm just not as funny as I think I am. Huh? That's probably what the problem is. Jesus said, I have compassion on them. I pity them. I pity them. Why? They're sheep having no shepherd. Let's think about that in the natural realm. Jesus didn't all of a sudden magically think that they were sheep with wool. No. God likens people to being sheep. He says, I have pity for them because they're sheep without a shepherd. Well, think about naturally, a sheep without a shepherd. Danger. No shepherd to keep them safe. No shepherd to keep them continually to a nice, nutritious, healthy food source. To keep them safe from predators, wolves, coyotes, all different types of things. To keep when something happens and they stumble and they get wounds or they get caught in a trial, no one there to come and pull them out of their trial. That's what pastors do for people. I'll tell you what, I thank God every day for my pastor. I'll just tell you this, without my pastor, I'd be a dead man right now. I'm telling you the truth. I'd be poor and on the streets. I would not have my children. I'm just telling you, it wasn't church that changed my life. It was a man of God who had a gift on his life and an anointing on his life, who spoke the word to me and pulled me out of stuff. Why? He had that shepherd's heart to come and grab me out of some things. You think about a sheep that doesn't have it. They fall in a hole. Boom, they're staying there forever. They ain't getting out until the shepherd comes and pulls them out. They get a cut on their leg or they get a wound in their life. That wound can get affected, can turn into something worse. I'll tell you what, some of the domino effect from in my life and my family from my pastor. And we just sometimes are so casual about it. Again, we're not puffing up the man, we're puffing up the office. Paul said this, he said, I magnify my office. He didn't say I magnify myself.
Right.
Amen? Right. My pastor's very quick to point out who he was before he got Jesus. And I'm quick to point that out to you too. We're not magnifying a person. Praise the Lord. And he said, I have compassion on them. They don't have anybody to help them. Praise the Lord. And he said unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send laborers into his harvest. Where? Send laborers, send pastors into the harvest fields.
Amen.
To help people, to pastor them. Heather, if you'd go back to verse 36. When he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because, now listen to this, they were fainted and scattered abroad. The Amplified, which just amplifies that original Greek, says that they were this, dejected, harassed, and bewildered. I see that a lot in people that don't have a good pastor. In people that don't have somebody to help them. Do you know how many times, now this has happened in my life, but this is the way it should happen, where somebody's been going through a situation they can't get themselves out of and they'll call me, and because of the gift that God's put on my life, I'll say one thing to them in a 5-minute conversation, it'll change everything. Change everything. Just change everything. A word in season for them. What? That's what the shepherd's supposed to do. I can't tell how many times I've met with my pastor and I've been just stuck. Things are going, and he'll just say one thing because he's got a gift on his life, and boom, the whole situation's fixed. And if I didn't have a shepherd, I'd be stuck right in that position. Yeah. Yeah. Praise God. And let me just say this. You getting fed is worth more than sticking around in a dead church because of fellowship.
Amen. Praise God.
Oh, I know people that are sticking around in dead churches because they don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. You need to be fed. You need to be fed. Praise the Lord. It'd be like saying, you know what? I'm just going to stop eating because there's thousands of millions of starving people around the world. So I'm going to stop eating because I just can't. I feel bad to eat. Dumb. You're going to die. You're going to die. Same spiritually. Oh, I'll stick around here in this dead atmosphere because, you know, the fellowship's good and because it's comfortable and because we know people and because they have a good worship team. I had somebody come into the church and say, you know what? I'm here because the worship team in my church stinks. I said, well, you ain't going to get much better here. It's me and a guitar. I told him, what's going on here with this microphone? Praise the Lord. I said, we losing battery here or something, you think? Well, anyways, we'll figure it. I got a big enough mouth we could shut this thing off. But then our live stream won't work, so let's see here. What was I saying? Someone help me. Worship team stinks. I said, I'm thinking to myself, that's why you're in church, for the music? The music ain't gonna do nothing for your life. The word is. Now, I'm believing God for a worship team. Don't you worry. People with excellent spirit and skill to play instruments and have a nice, good worship team. I'm believing God for that. You know what? You don't have enough programs for my kids. If we have the word of God, that's all your kids need. Yeah, I've heard it all. The reason people go to church is dumb. They have no value on themselves being fed. Oh, the pastor's using me here, and I'm so comfortable with the groups that we have and just the cliques and all the friends I have. I just can't leave. I know a lady that has a call of God on her life to preach the word of God and will not leave her dead church because she doesn't want to hurt the people's feelings. So not only is she hurting herself, she's hurting the people she's supposed to be ministering to. She's got a call on her life. This woman can preach the Bible. Praise God. And people say, so Jesus ain't interested in your little groups. He ain't interested in the worship team. I don't know. I've never read in the Gospels of Jesus traveling around with a worship team. It's never mentioned one time. People, they have it backwards. They have it backwards. Glory to God. Jesus said, I have compassion, dejected, harassed, bewildered, sheep without a shepherd. He wants you to be fed, glory to God. He wants you to be well off, hallelujah. He wants you to thrive. You'll never get into that plan of God until you finally recognize, say, you know what, I can't do this on my own.
That's right.
I can't do this on my own. Jesus gave me this gift, hallelujah. Praise God. Go with me real quick to Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 19. Oh, Pastor, I thought you were going to tell us how to walk into more money and to walk into more health. I am telling you that. You know, I met with somebody, met with lots of people, but I'm thinking of this person in particular. They don't go to this church. And they really struggled in addictions in their life. And I know what that's like, man. You ain't looking at a perfect guy up here. That, you know, I came from a hardcore gambling addiction, drugs, alcohol, you name it. You know, I was messed up, severe depression. God pulled me out of it all, though. I know it's possible. And this person, you know, sat down with me struggling with severe addictions and thought in their mind that I was going to tell them how to get free of those addictions. Well, I did tell them how to get free. They didn't recognize. I said, the very first thing you need to do is just show up to church. Just go to church. I don't care if you do anything at all. You don't have to read your Bible, open anything. Just show up and sit in the seat in the church. It's the first start. You can't get out of everything you're going through until you get a pastor in your life. Well, they didn't do that. They met with me again, told them the same thing. Met with me again, told them the exact same thing. The third time they got mad at me and stopped wanting to meet with me. Pastor, I thought you were going to help me with my problem. I did help you with your problem, but you wouldn't listen to me. I can't get you into God's plan until you first do what God says to do, which is to get a shepherd, which is to get into a local church and get fed. Praise God. I know it's not earth-shattering and groundbreaking revelation, but it's what will keep you safe in life. Isaiah 1 and verse 19. Really, Lord, I have to say that? Okay, I will. Praise God. I'm not your pastor if you're here once every 6 weeks. I'm not. I'm not feeding you. You're starving. I'm just not. People say, I have a pastor. No, you don't. If you're not here on a regular basis, I'm not your feeder. I'm not helping you. You're not benefiting from my life. Now, I love you and care about you, but it's just you're not getting what God has for you. You're not obeying God. You're out of the will of God. You're out of the will of God. Try to help you out. So, good job, Pastor Mike. Doing awesome up here. Glory to God. Glad I came today. Thanks for helping me and keeping me safe. See, people, either they're very arrogant or they just don't have the revelation. I think a lot of people, it's just they don't have the revelation because a lot of people have good hearts. But why do you think you know more than God for your life? Here you are wanting Him to do good for you. Here you are wanting Him to bless you, but you're doing it your own way. Yeah. Can you imagine naturally if you got fed once every 7, 8, 9 weeks? Whoa. You wouldn't be around. You'd be dead.
That's right.
Some people's spirits are so wimpy and so little and so unfed, so malnourished, and they're wondering, why aren't I thriving? Dirt, dirt, dirt. Right?
Yeah.
If you'll thrive on the inside, you'll thrive on the outside. People put more value in this natural realm. The unseen realm determines the seen realm.
That's right.
If the unseen realm in your life is strong and solid, the natural realm will take care of itself.
That's good.
Yeah. Stop expecting things to go good for you if you're not doing it His way. My goodness. Isaiah 1 and verse 19. Now, in closing, you can hear this. You can see it's God's Word. You can see that it's the truth. But if you don't do anything with it, not going to be a blessing to you. Look what it says in Isaiah 1 and 19. If you be willing and obedient. I love that it says if there. If. There's a clause.
Yeah.
If you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land.
Amen.
You'll eat the good of the land. If you'll be willing and obedient to this. Again, nobody's telling you to come here.
Right.
But I'm telling you to go where they're teaching the Word and being fed. Praise God. Yeah. Hallelujah. I know we're a good one.
Hallelujah.
Notice I didn't say the pastor's a good one. Notice I didn't say the name. I'm not a family church honk. That's just promoting the name of family church. I just know that we're a good one.
Yeah.
That we will teach you the Word.
Amen.
You know, I was in churches, and I ended up with a gun in my mouth, with the camera cocked, ready to take my life. I ended up in the bars, completely just drunk off my rear end, not having a clue in my life. In the woods, drugged up. I've been in churches doing that, met with people. It wasn't until I got connected with the man of God that had a call on his life. It didn't matter what the name of his church was. It didn't matter what the building looked like. It mattered what the gift that was on that man's life. And everything changed. Everything changed. Everything changed. Oh, I know, Lord, I have such a hard time preaching on this, but I'm going to anyways. Go back to Ephesians 4 and verse 8. Ephesians 4 and verse 8. Now, if you have a wrong mind about this, you'll say, oh, he's up there puffing himself up. Listen, I've just told you what a worthless individual I was without him. Not puffing anything up. Ephesians 4 and verse 8. Ephesians 4 and verse 8, it says, wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave what unto men?
Gifts.
Gifts unto men. When God gives a gift, it's special. It ought to be treasured, not trampled under, not talked bad about.
Yeah.
Oh, I could go to story after story.
Praise God.
Gave gifts unto men. And then it goes on to say in verse 11, what are those gifts? Apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, teachers. So we have such a low view of our spiritual authority in our lives. We do. We do. Do you know, I actually texted someone this week because, you know, this person is this. Do you know that in the book of Hebrews, you know, one thing that I've lacked to talk about is honor a lot because I don't ever want to be self-serving. But you know what God's told me? He said, you better start talking about honor in your church. It's starting to hurt the people's lives.
Yeah.
So I've already settled it in the back room. I'm not trying to be self-serving. I know who I am without him, but I know what you need.
Amen.
And, you know what the Bible says in the book of Hebrews? I believe it's in verse 13, chapter 13, verse 17. And look at other translations. It says that your job is to make my job joyful.
Amen.
That you're not to be a drag to me. That you're not to be someone that weighs me down. That when I see you, I'm like, ugh. The Word of God. The Word of God. The same Word that tells you, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do that. The same Word tells you that your job is to make my job joyful.
Yeah.
And I'm here to tell you that a lot of people in the body of Christ do not do that for the pastor.
Right.
It's a dread sometimes for the pastor to have to come. It's a dread sometimes to have to meet with some people. It's always drag them down, put a 1,000-pound weight on them, and put them under the, put them, throw them out in the water with a 1,000-pound weight on them, shackled to his ankle to sink them to the bottom. Yeah.
Yeah.
A gift in your life. And we don't value that at all. We don't treasure that. And if you don't put a value and a treasure on that, you'll never have the understanding and the idea that I need to submit to that. Again, nothing to lord over your life. Nothing weird here. Not trying to get you to walk off a cliff. Not trying to get you to drink the Kool-Aid. We're talking about submitting to the Word of God. Submitting to the Word of God. That's what we're talking about when we say submitting. Understanding, I can't do this on my own. I need somebody over me to do this that has a gift on my life to do this. And I'm going to sit there. I'm going to be a blessing to that church. I'm going to be a blessing to that pastor. I'm going to make his job joyful. I'm not going to make him want to stinking you know, whatever. Jump in front of a semi when he leaves church. Praise God. A gift. Now go back to Isaiah 1:19. Lord just had to get that stuff out. Isaiah 1 and verse 19. Praise God. Because after today, you have a choice now. You're responsible for what you know. You can never again say, oh, I just don't need to go to church. You can't say that. If you want to be in God's will, you can't say that. Oh, it's just, I'll just stay home and read my Bible. Okay, sinner. When you don't do God's will, isn't that sin? I mean, if we all stood up here and if Vinny got up and started reaching in the ladies' purses and putting their money in his pocket, we'd all say, sinner, you're stealing. Stop doing that. Right? But when we say, oh, sinner, not coming to church, God says, go to church. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves as the manner of some is. You need a pastor. Glory to God. Oh, I know. Just, you know why I can preach bold like this? Because you're all going to get nice cookies and hamburgers and hot dogs and make you feel so good after this. Isaiah 1 and verse 19. If you'll be willing and obedient. Willing to what? Be led. Be willing to be led. Be willing to be pulled out of what you're going through and have someone lead you. When I was working at Walker Farms in the cherry orchards, there was a little fawn that ran and got scared, and it dove right in head first into a fence. And I heard this thing just, I'm just bawling, you know, and I have just little spots on it. I felt so bad. I went over to try to help it. The thing peed all over me. And I still loved it enough to help it. But I'm sitting here trying to lead this thing to where it needs to go. And it's kicking me. And it's trying to bite me with its head. It's trying to do all these different things. It's kicking. It had no idea I'm there trying to lead. And so many people are that way. They just kick and scream against God's will, against God's plan. They fight it. Oh, I'm going to stay home today. Got to sleep in. We start at 10 o'clock. My goodness. It's not that early. Praise the Lord. You can be here. I don't need it. If you'll be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. You want to start eating the good of the land? Start being willing and obedient. Willing to be led and obeying what God says about a church. That is the first step for you to getting into God's plan for your life. If you're not doing that, stop praying to Him and asking Him to help you. Because you just got your help today. You just got your help today. I know, maybe you haven't heard it like this before, but it's the truth. My job is to tell you the truth. Your job is to do something with it. We're like Fox News, right? We report, you decide. I'm just telling you what the Word says. I'll report it. You do what you want with it. A good pastor will tell you the truth and leave it up to you to do whatever you want with it. Yeah. And I'm just going to say this right now. There, in this service right now, by the Spirit of God, there's people that are tempted to sway away from this place. Oh, yeah. Maybe that's why God said it. Tempted to sway away, even though God's told you to be here, even though you've been blessed here, even though you're starting to thrive here. Tempted to be pulled away right now. Spirit of God's warning you. If you know you're called here, God didn't change His mind. God didn't. Oh, you're just trying to keep us here. No, I just love when people say, God called me here, and then they get mad at someone or something happens, and 2 weeks later, God called me somewhere else. Really? A bipolar God? Who'd have thought? I always thought He had it all together. I guess He doesn't. One translation says, you'll feast like kings. If you'll be willing and obedient, you'll feast like a king in all areas of your life. Praise God. So, glory to God. Feed my sheep. Jesus is interested in you being fed. Let's be doers of the Word. Amen. Father, we love You today. Thank You so much for the Word. Thank You so much for help, Father. We bless You. We magnify You. We glorify You. We honor You, Father God. We thank You so much for the help that we have here today. Lord, I'm so interested in people being helped and people being blessed. Father, if people are here and they don't have a church, I pray that they get hooked up. If they want to come here and they feel led here, boy, we'd love to have them. And the people that are here, Father, that are getting fed, they eat so good every week, Father. Help them to recognize that there's no place like home cooking. That when Mama puts a meal on, I don't want to go to the neighbor's house. I don't want to go somewhere else and get fed because nobody can do it like my home cooking. So, Father, help them to recognize what they have and how blessed they are to hear the Word. Father, I've been out there. I've seen it. I talk to pastors all the time. It is a rare thing anymore nowadays to be taught the Word of God. Sad, but it's true. Help them to recognize what and how blessed they are to be here. Father, we love You. You have such a good plan for us. But it's not apart from being in a good local church with a pastor that will teach the Word. Anything apart from that, our lives will be dejected, harassed, bewildered, scattered, and faint. Lord, we thank you for your goodness this morning. We thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your kindness. Father, thank you for teaching us. Lord, we bless you today. Just bless him today. Just thank him. Just worship him. We love you, Lord. We bless you. If I could ask everybody to bow their heads and to close their eyes. Please, nobody looking around. Everybody that can hear my voice, whether you're in this service or whether you're listening by live stream, if you can hear my voice, ask yourself this question. If today were my last day on planet Earth, where would I go? Ask yourself that. If the answer isn't a 100% with certainty, heaven, stop messing around with eternity. Get off the fence. It doesn't cost you anything. And listen, don't let the idea of, oh, I'm too bad to get saved, and I got to fix this. Stop it. You don't clean a fish before you catch it. God will catch you and then clean you up. Don't worry about what you've done and how bad you've been. He said, if you'll call on the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. Not if you're perfect. Not if you have all your ducks in a row. Not if you have everything straight. Not if everything is perfect in your life. If you call on his name, you will be saved. So if you're here today and you can say, you know, Pastor Mike, I don't know how I'd answer that question. I think I'd go to heaven, or I'm not sure. Get off the fence of eternity. It's so simple. We're not going to embarrass you. We're not going to have you come up front. I won't have you stand up. You're not going to say anything on your own. But if you want to receive Jesus and just cry out to him today, you're not going to pray on your own. We're all going to pray with you. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. If you want to receive Jesus here this morning and know without a shadow of a doubt you're going to heaven, would you just raise your hand? Would you just lift your hand up and then put it right back down? I see that hand. You can put it down. Thank you for your boldness. Anybody else in this service? Anybody else? Praise God. And let me just say, for that person that raised their hand, or the people that should have raised their hand, or the people that are listening by live stream, today marks the end of your past. Today marks the end of anything that you've ever done wrong. Today marks the end of any mistake you've ever made. It's over with. It's gone. Your yesterday doesn't exist anymore. God's going to come in and swipe in, and he's going to forgive you of everything. He's going to wash you white as snow. He's going to make it so you're a person without a blemish and a spot on them. So you stop taking those thoughts. You stop feeling bad about yourself. You stop holding yourself to the fire. You made mistakes. So what? Join the club. That's why Jesus came, because he didn't make any mistakes. He knew that you would. He knew that I would. So he came for your mistakes. So stop beating yourself up about it. He loves you so much, cares about you. And the best days of the rest of your life are beginning right now. You've not wasted any time. God's a time. God can supernaturally speed things up. Praise God. So for that person that raised your hand, and ones that should have, or ones listening, we're going to pray a prayer. You just mean this with all your heart. If you believe Jesus died and rose again, you're a candidate. You're qualified for salvation. So we're going to all pray together as a church. But if you raised your hand, should have, or are listening, you mean this with all your heart. Say this with me. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for my sins. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. I believe you rose again from the dead. And I ask you to come into my heart. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you can look up here. Glory to God. You know, the Bible says when one person gives their heart to Jesus, the angels rejoice. We just set off a party in heaven. Hallelujah. And so, you know, that goes for everybody. It doesn't matter if you've been born again for 50 years and you've messed up, just ask him to forgive you. It's over. He's not holding you to the fire. Stop holding yourself to the fire. Praise God. He's merciful, isn't he? Well, have an awesome rest of the day. Of course, we have the picnic. Just immediately go right over there. We'll get that food going for you as soon as possible. And don't forget, Wednesday night, 6:30, and also books of the month are out there. You're dismissed.